Honourable members, can you settle down now, please, honourable members? After all that excitement, can we now proceed? I'd like to caution the Honourable Abbasini to be more careful in future, because it seems that this is not an isolated case of phone abuse.
Chairman, before we start, may I take a second for a conditional public apology? No, not on this matter, on something else. Just take a second. Because at times things are said with one meaning, and they're understood in a completely different manner. And a couple of meetings ago, the Honorable Landers took exception to what he said, suggesting that he couldn't write. And I couldn't understand what it is that he was talking about. Then I spoke to somebody outside, and they put the dots for me. And he suggested that when I asked whether he wrote the document he was reading from, there was an innuendo that it was so nicely written, which could not possibly be written by him, which was not my intention whatsoever. I was just taken aback from the fact that he was replying to all that which was said with a pre-prepared document, and if there was an innuendo, it was not that he could have not written himself. I mean, there is no reason why a brilliant man like him could not write what was a document written in a very beautiful prose and well argued. My concern was exclusively that we were dealing with a document prepared by a work group, which contained in that document the parameters within which we could discuss. Basically, this is our answer, and that's all we tell you, and beyond we cannot discuss. That was the purpose of my answer, and if anything, well, my question, if anything else was understood in it, was not meant at all, and I apologize for it.
I accept your apology on behalf of Mr. Landers. Because I don't want to generate a debate on the principles and the morality. Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for being so exact. Honourable Members, I've got apologies from the Honourable Kutsi, the Honourable Advocate De Lange. The Honourable Njabaleng and the Honourable Masia. I recall that the Honourable Stibbe also told me that he would not be here. Are there any other apologies? That is then the apologies, Honourable Members. Apart from the Honourable Chavaleng, who says that he is attending a meeting regarding economic transformation, there are no reasons given for the apologies. Honourable Members, there is still the issue outstanding on the application clause, which I'm sure the ANC will provide in due course. I would perhaps like that over the weekend, for the latest, that proposal be circulated on the restricted application clause, so that we don't, I'm sure we all know and understand what it is supposed to say. We just want to see it in proper words. Because it is, together with the definition of national security, two outstanding matters that are quite important. I don't know if behind the scene there has been any discussions regarding the definition which was forwarded. There was a question put by opposition members that two aspects were added to the clause after there had been somewhat an agreement regarding, or rather broad agreement regarding the definition of national security. Two additional aspects had been added, and there was a question, if I understand it, how come and why, and what would be the significance of that addition. Those are matters I'm not encouraging comment. I'm just saying it's two important issues that needs to be resolved. And it seems it would be in everybody's best interest if the discussion around those issues are circulated so that we don't spend unnecessary time in the committee arguing about them, because we have heard the arguments, I think, and what we need to see now is that we get closer to the final words. And I'm sure if you circulate those things, that your discussions during lunch and behind the scene might be more helpful than arguing over them now in the committee, where there has been substantial debate and discussions over the definition of national security, and also the question of the limitation to the application clause. You will recall, Honourable Member, that on Friday last week I gave you all an opportunity to say what it is you want to say on the public interest. Mr. Landers responded to that. I think I'm the only one that haven't responded. I did not say that I reserved my right, but I wanted to have something to say myself on the matter. I don't know if you've changed your mind on the issue, because my understanding is that you wanted to be heard, and you were heard, and I would just want to at some time when we get there again also to say something about it, and I think then we will have to decide how we're going to proceed on that particular matter. My view is that you people should behind the scenes see if you can't find each other, because it seems that you, on that particular issue of the public interest, you have difficulty finding one another in the committee. So perhaps outside the committee you'd find it easier to find one another. We will not get to that issue during this week again, but I would encourage you to see just how far you can get on that matter in an informal environment rather than in the committee, because we have, I think, exhausted much of what we want to say about the public interest in the committee. I think if there's going to be a breakthrough of any kind, it's going to be on the basis that there was informal discussions and agreements outside the meeting. The Honourable Abra Senior has also asked to be heard on another matter, and I have agreed that we would give him some time. The public domain, classified information in the public domain, I think that's the way he calls it. I have agreed to give him, and I shall stick to that agreement, but at the moment I think that's not the time. And then when the time is right, we will allow the Honourable Abrasini to address us on a matter which he has already addressed us on, but I did, for the sake of reminding us, agree that we would give you an opportunity again. You have a question on what I've said, Honourable Member?
Chair, just for the record, we did discuss the public interest defence on Friday, and we have provided or circulated a proposal. On national security, we have spent some additional time. We have a new proposal on national security, which we will circulate today.
There you have it, honourable members, improvement, progress. I think if it circulated, it would be useful because it would generate a necessary opportunities for members to engage in this thing, as I said, in an informal environment, so that you can think about it at home, do a research, get your researchers and your lawyers to look at this thing, so that when you come to the committee, if you're going to argue, you'd be able to argue from an informed position rather than just from what is before you. That then, honourable members, I would during the course of the day again take up the question of the program for next week and how to deal with the program or how we intend to deal. You all know that on Tuesday there's a holiday. On Friday next week the Judicial Service Commission is busy dealing with the appointment of the Chief Justice, and I, for that reason, would either have to be get permission to be excused or otherwise I would have to attend that session of the Judicial Service Commission. So in all likelihood, we will not sit on Friday unless you choose another chairman to lead the proceedings in my absence. That's 2 days that we will not sit next week then, the public holiday and also on Friday. So I think let's address that issue later on during the course of the day, how we will proceed next week. Coming to the work for the day, the state law advisors were given a number of pieces of homework. The one was to update the working document and to incorporate those things that had been agreed upon. And there was also other work, so I take it that we are going to be taken through the working document, where you are going to, Ms. Boyce, indicate to us where those matters that we had agreed upon and has been inserted into the document. Can we then proceed on that basis, Ms. Boyce?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. On the working document 11, that's dated 3 August, on page 7, we inserted the definition of agency to mean the state security agency contemplated.
Can you just hold it, because it appears that the document had not been circulated. Let's keep a okay, it appears now all the members have it. Can you start again?
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 7 of Working Document 11, the definition of agency. Agency is defined to mean the state security agency contemplated in Schedule 1 to the Public Service Act and includes the National Intelligence Agency, South African Secret Service, Electronic Communications Security, or COMSEC, and the South African National Academy for Intelligence. Archive is defined to mean the national archive or any archive established in terms of a provincial law and includes an archive kept by an organ of state. We were asked to look at, for instance, the Defence Act as well as the other legislation. And Chairperson, in the Defence Act there is a provision in clause or section 83(3) of the Defence Act that makes provision for the Defence Archive repository that is established in terms of that particular act. We've also looked more widely, and we found also other examples of archives or repositories that are being kept in terms of other pieces of legislation. For instance, the Disaster Management Information System that is being kept in the Disaster Management Act of 2002. But we believe if you look at the words "and includes an archive kept by an organ of state," I think that would be sufficient to cater for those instances where you have other archives established in terms of a legislation and that's been kept by an organ of state. Chairperson, then on the next page, page 8, to remove the in classified information definition, to remove the words "the" and to remove after MIS guidelines or any other law, to remove the words "to be information that may be afforded heightened protection against unlawful disclosure." On page 9, the definition of downgrading of information means a change of classification of information from its existing level to a lower level.
I don't think that the amendments to classified information reflected our understanding, our agreement on the matter. Should I address you on this now, or do you want to do it later?
No, just keep your... make a point and we'll get back to it later.
As you wish.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then on page 10, it's just the definition of hostile activity that we've removed from where it was placed at the chapter 11 at the offences, and we've inserted it here. Hostile activity means aggression against the state, sabotage or terrorism aimed at the people of the state or strategic asset of the state, whether inside or outside the state, or an activity aimed at changing the constitutional order of the state by using of force, by use of force or violence, or D, a foreign or hostile intelligence operation. And then also on page 11, definition of information. Information means any document, whether written, copied, drawn, painted, printed, filmed, photographed, magnetic, optical, digital, electronic, or any other type of recording, measure, procedure, object, or verbal announcement. Chairperson, then on page 14, the definition of intelligence. Intelligence means the process of gathering, evaluation, correlation and interpretation of security information, including activities related thereto. On page 15, the definition of non-state actor, to take out the words involved with and insert the words engaged in. On page 16, to take out the definition of protected information as well as public interest. On page 17, to insert a definition for request, and request in relation to a review means a request for a review of the status of classified information, b, access to classified information means the request submitted to the relevant head of an organ of state, or c, records means the request for records of an organ of state. We were also asked to consider the definition of requester. In the footnote, we've mentioned that the requester appears only once in the bill and only in clause 27.3, but we've defined requester means any person who makes a request in terms of the provisions of this Act. And then we also inserted the definition for relevant minister, means any cabinet member whose portfolio is affected by this Act. Then we took out the definition of secret information, and we've amended the definition of security clearance, to take out the word candidate and insert the word person, and to take out the words at the end of the line, subject to the need to know. Chairperson, why we took this out is because we've also taken the words or the definition for need to know out of the definition clause. So we propose that that must also come out in this definition. Chairperson, on page 18, to define the state means the state of the Republic of South Africa. And Chairperson, then the definition of valuable information is taken out and it is substituted with, and the definition is on page 19. Valuable information means information which must be protected from unlawful alteration, destruction, or loss, or option B, valuable information means information whose unlawful alteration, destruction, or loss is likely to deny the public or individuals of a service or benefit to which they are entitled. Chairperson, then at the bottom, to take out subclause 4, and on page 20, subclause 5, and subclause 6. Chairperson, I don't know whether you want us to go into the separate documents that we've prepared or...
No, let's just deal with the definitions. Honorable Abrosini, you were first.
How do we proceed, Mr. Chairman? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 problems.
With the definitions now.
Yeah, but should I give you all my six problems together, or do we discuss one at a time?
Are they relating to the definitions?
Yes.
Let's go to your six problems.
Okay, classified information. My recollection of the debate and what was agreed upon is that we would say means state information which has been determined under this act or any other law or any previous law to be information that may be afforded heightened protection against unlawful disclosure. Because as it reads, I don't think it makes sense in English, means any information that has been determined under this act. Determine what? Determine as such, determine to be classified. So the second part, nobody had a problem with the second part. Where the problem was, it was in making reference to the MIS guidelines, which is an internal administrative document, which per se is not under the MIS guidelines. The MIS guidelines are under the Protection of Information Act. And by so doing, the concern was that one would give a legislative backing to a document and actions taken under that document, which as is now stand may not have it. And as I recall it, the matter was going to be dealt in the transitional provisions by the way we discuss it. And all we were doing here means classified information, means state information that has been determined under this act and the Protection of Information Act, stop, or any other previous act. Then if you wish, I will address you on how the, the transitional provisions were agreed upon, as I recollect. Should I stop here or should I go to the next point?
No, just hold on one minute. On the same point, Honourable Swart and then Honourable...
Yes, I also agree that if we don't... I think it's correctly captured to remove to be information that it may be afforded heightened protection. But I think in re-looking at it, it doesn't make sense because it must be determined as what. So I think that we can reinsert those words to be information that may be afforded heightened protection. But I think we correctly instructed the law advisors to take it out. My suggestion is to put it back in. Then we had a lengthy discussion about what does it mean about classified information. And I made the point that it's a historical fact that information in terms of the Protection of Information Act is classified information. And I think Dr. Ambrosini had a problem with that, and we then discussed the transitional arrangements as to whether one should insert it. I don't have a major problem. I don't think we then instructed the law advisors to change it. We did have a discussion about the transitional provisions. I don't have a problem with its present formulation as long as we insert the words that were excluded in the brackets. We had a lengthy discussion around about that, but the key point that Dr. Ambrosini made was he said that by putting it in here, you are elevating information under MIS and the Protection of Information Act to be presently classified information. But my point is it's historical fact that it is classified information that must be re-looked at. Thank you, Chair.
I simply would like to say that is a correct reflection, as we recall it, and so the grammar at the end shouldn't have been lost. It should have come back. The last thing. But that was precisely our discussion. We had a long discussion about whether the MIS had any statutory basis. It did not. We then had the discussion, so what do we do about it? And as Steve says, we decided we have to recognize the fact that material was in fact classified under it and just live with the result that it now enjoys some sort of ex post recognition. Hopefully it won't be long before this law kicks in.
Honourable members,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, honourable member.
Yes, just want to perhaps qualify what the honourable Smith is saying. I think she's recollecting a point in our discussions, which I did not understand being the final point, because then it was noted the definition of classified information refers to words which carry throughout the entire bill. And if classified information refers to, is used throughout the bill, refers to that which has been, refers to the MIS explicitly, then the mechanism of just disregarding what has been obviously classified in a way that is completely inconsistent with this act no longer exists. Each and every piece of information will need to go through a process, to a formal process of declassification. And I thought we addressed that point by not making reference to MIS here, and by dealing with the transitional provision in which we say that any information classified under any previous law is remains classified subject to this act. So that is where the MIS came in. And by dealing with that in the transitional provision, I understood that the agreement here was that we dealt only as classified information in terms of this act.
Honourable members, at the time that this was discussed, when put to the state law advisor, I put to you then, is it that the word "the" must be removed? And you agreed, yes. And then you agreed that there must be a full stop after the word "law," and the words following that must be deleted. Am I correct, honourable members? That is the instruction that was given to the state law advisor, and that is in fact what has been done. So, I'll give you an opportunity, honourable members. Allow me to finish. And that had been after a long discussion on the MIS and the status of MIS, which the honourable Abbasini was having difficulty with. So the question, honourable members, is this thing correctly captured? And the question then is, are you now wanting to change it again, and for what reason? Yes, honourable Abbasini.
The instruction you gave, I mean, you are correctly restating the instruction you gave. You did say those things. But as I understood it, let's remind ourselves of the debate and what perhaps the honourable Landers, what I remember the Honourable Landers said, there was an additional instruction. Let's deal with everything, with transitional provisions, with transitional arrangements, in the transitional arrangement, and remove from the definition anything which deals with transitional arrangement. That was not captured in your giving a specific instruction on how to deal with words and commas, but I understood that the instruction was sort it out the way it should be. And once we say in the transitional arrangement that any information previously classified remains classified, subject to this act, then we don't need it here. And the problem of having it here is that you are dealing with the word classified information, which is throughout the act. And by so doing, every time you read classified information, you deal with everything which is presently purportedly classified, whether or not it's been classified, not only in compliance with the new act, but even in compliance with the old act. So all data which may be not in compliance with the present legislation would, by making part of the definition of classified information, become legalized, even if inconsistent with the present legislation, because it can only be declassified in terms of this act, through a request in terms of this act, and so on and so forth. And I thought that in order to avoid this, that's what we would do. It's very distracting to speak if I get this flow of... Can we... I'm sorry, Dean. It's very...
You do
Honorable Swat, can you? Okay, members, come to order, please. Honorable Swat.
Chair, yes, we can spend a lot of time debating this, but I don't see any problem with the present formulation, or I don't see the problem with Dr. Ambrosini's formulation either. So to take the process forward, let's put it in the transitional provisions. It is a change to what we instructed, and maybe there was a bit of a misunderstanding. Let's put the reference to the Protection of Information Act and the MIST guidelines in the transitional. It will still say there that that is classified information. So it's not a major issue that we should spend a lot of time about. And let's insert the words that we deleted in the brackets. That's my suggestion to take the process forward. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make, to me, legal difference, but to take the process forward.
Honourable Landers.
Chairperson, the transitional provisions already exist. They're on page 85 of the document we have before us. And they refer to the MIST guidelines, Protection of Information Act 1982, or any other law. So, but that's in relation to what must happen to that body of information that remains untouched since the advent of the MIST guidelines and now the bill before us. We need a procedure that clearly deals with that information. We had a very long debate about are we legitimizing the MIST guidelines, etc., etc. And at the end of the day, Chairperson, we agreed that it wasn't something that we could fix. It was something that we should just agree we'll have to live with, as the Honourable Dean Smuts alluded to, and hopefully before someone gets the bright idea of testing it in a court of law, this law will be signed into law, and Bob's your auntie. But Chairperson, I really don't understand where the problem lies here in the definition. I do tend to agree that perhaps we can bring back, you're right, Chair, we did say that the words at the end of the definition we said should come out, but now on reflection, we're having a rethink and saying, well, perhaps they should stay in. As to the rest of Mr. Ambrosini's difficulty, I don't really understand where he's